Well, you are on the air, Sarah, and are you one of the folks involved in? Are you calling it a sit-in or an occupation, or how are you characterizing what's going on right now at HSU?
So we're not calling it an occupation. We feel that this is more of a residency, setting up a residency. We are more like liberating occupied lands. You know, this is traditional Wiat territory here, and a lot of the people who are here are Indigenous people. And so we don't really feel like we're occupying. We feel like we're here in a space with love and respect and, building community. And I feel that there's different than owning something and having an occupancy.
So we actually had a couple of folks from Unified Students of Humboldt on the air last week. They spoke at length. But for folks who missed that, could you kind of characterize what your issue with the HSU administration is?
Well, there's just so much, you know, so it's very challenging to really lay it all out and articulate it offense by offense by offense. And we're actually going to create some kind of timeline that is going to be a large group effort with many people's input as to all of the different ways that we have had the degradation of our programs going on over the last decade at least. And so... So essentially what's been going on in short is that there has been ethnotrauma, and there has been a lot of feelings of distress from students of color. And it's because we're living in a consistent state of fear of our programs being cut, our funds being cut. We're trying to get a higher education, and it's very challenging, to be able to do that with these special programs being, you know, cut on a regular basis. We also have very special mentors and people that are faculty members and even, professors and administrators and these sorts of people who have been either released from employment, or they've been not receiving a tenure, or they've been, early retiring, this sort of thing happening on a regular basis. These are faculty of color, and we want to be able to see faculty of color because they're relatable for us because we are students of color. So, we have a very small percentage of faculty of color at HSU in comparison to the students of color here on campus. So there are multiple reasons as to, why we have these different issues, and it's been a long-standing thing. The most recent beloved faculty member that we have lost is Dr. Jacqueline Bowman, and she's a Lakota woman and somebody who we admire and care for. She's like she's a relative to us, and so she was the director of INTERCEP, which is Indian Natural Resources and Sciences and Engineering program, and so she's. She was released from employment there last semester, and that just sparked a lot of controversy and a lot of outrage within the students. But we've been very peaceful. We resist with a peaceful spirit. And so, that's kind of some of the issues that we have been having with HSU as the institution that's designed for for white people, honestly. Like, we are a very tiny, tiny, area of funds and this sort of thing that goes into our programs. This whole entire institution reflects that. And so we have to carve our way into that institution to be able to have a space for students of color. We have to work. We have to raise funds. We have to, we have to do a lot of things to try to make sure that our places are secure. And we're tired of fighting. And it's really exhausting. And to live in that constant state of feeling like our programs might get cut, or one of our favorite mentors might not get tenured, or that, they might be released from employment, or they might cut our programs. But this is a constant thing that's going on that's very damaging to all of us, I think.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Sarah from Unified Students of Humboldt. They have just taken up residency in a hall at HSU. This follows a weekend-long conference that talked about Native issues. I think the word you used was ethnotrauma. Are you accusing HSU of systemic discrimination of people against people of color or against the Native Studies Department specifically or both?
Personally, when it comes to that, I have had this discussion with many students of that constant feeling of living in a state of am I going to be able to continue my education? Am I going to be able to have my dreams come true and become a federal Indian lawyer? Like, is that going to happen for me or is that not going to happen to me? Because my, you know, mentor who is helping me study federal Indian law is not going to be there next semester or next week. You know, there's kind of this fear of just losing programs, losing funding and this sort of thing. So I don't know that I want to accuse. Like, that's not necessarily that's not how we do things around here. I feel like we're not trying to accuse. What we're trying to do is to have a relationship with administration so that they will actually be able to rise to standards that we have that, you know, and for what we need to be able to be good students and not just to be good students, but to achieve higher education. And to go beyond this place, you know, they've developed programs for us to be retained. They have us, you know, they're wondering, how can we retain students of color? Because apparently there's high dropout rates and these sorts of things, or we can't stay in school. They have to retain us. And I think instead, you know, we feel passionate about being in school. We don't just want to be retained. We want to be able to be mentored, to be able to spread our wings and go to the next level, get our PhDs, this sort of thing. That sort of mentality is not with our administration. They're just thinking about how to hold numbers and get us to graduation date and get our BA degrees. But we want more than that. We want to go beyond that. And that's not being addressed, I feel.
In as much as your issues are concerned, they are not unique to the department. Deaf studies gone, nursing program is gone, industrial tech, woodworking gone, and so forth. Do you feel like your case is, in terms of securing funding and securing, like, you know, mentorship, that your case is different than for these other departments?
I think that, you know, I know that there is definitely some sort of like, problem with being able to receive funds from the state of California. Like, I know that there is, you know, we had a conversation with the president about that sort of issue that comes up. You know, we asked her to fully fund our program. And she, you know, we asked her to, you know, have her advisors go to full time, you know, work. Instead of part-time work, and she has said that she does not, you know, she's like, I can't afford it, you know. You know, I would love to see that, but I can't, I can't afford it. But yet we have different lawsuits that go on campus about mismanagement of funds. We have, different focuses on sports and athletics and this sort of thing. You know, there's a lot of money that's being thrown around HSU on a regular basis, and it's not students of color, you know, it's not. And, you know, and maybe it's not woodworking either, you know, and when I hear questions like that, sometimes I think, well, you know, well, these other people are having problems too. Does that make your case unique? And it's like, you know what, like, we're all in this together. Geez, woodworkers, hey, you know what, you should come down here and have coffee with us, because you know what, we're sick of this too. And you're probably sick of this also. And you know what, we should talk about how we can change this. Because there's definitely mismanagement of funds, and there are things that outweigh what, you know, different, you know, classes and different things that we want to learn about. So I want to hear more student voice. I'm tired of the administration and people from the top saying, this is what we think that students need. Hey, let's focus more energy on sports and this sort of thing. Like, okay. That's what you think that students want. Well, you know what? You've got a residency here. You've had three massive protests last semester. Students just, they want to be able to have a little, you know, there are other things that we want. And we do have a list of demands. And, you know, focus on that. Listen to our voices. We don't just want to be one out of 17 on a hiring committee or two students to find a new director of NRSEP or something like this. We have bigger visions and bigger goals than that. You know, so So I think that we really want administration to listen. Sometimes they hear us. They will sit down and they will kind of, you know, some information will enter through their heads. I know that this happens, but I feel like sometimes they're not really listening with their heart. And that's what we want.
Again, if you're tuning in, we've got Sarah, and she is a resident right now. They have taken up residency. She's with Unified Students of Humboldt. And you talked about you have a list of demands. We have already touched base on a few of them, which you just did, demanding a full, effective participation in a transparent hiring process. You also want to reinstate and secure Dr. Jacqueline Bowman as the director of Intercept.
Intercept, yes.
Thank you. Fully fund the diversity programs. You also have on the list terminate Rada Webley. Am I saying that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Who is that?
Rada Webley is she's the lady in charge of retention and inclusion of student success, which is the RIS program. And she's also in charge of the diversity and inclusion. And so she's a woman that we can recognize as somebody who was taking orders from her higher-ups to be able to terminate Jacqueline Bowman. And we feel that she is not representing students of color well. If she was listening to us as students of color, then she would recognize the amazing services that Jacqueline Bowman has provided for us and the resources that she's brought to the university, the countless amount of internships that she has brought to her students, and that, she has also created... She is in charge of this RIS program, which we are just fundamentally, we do not agree with. It is an educational segregation. There's this system that's going on where, RIS is something, like I was saying earlier, they're concerned about retaining students. They think that students of color are not capable of retaining themselves here. So they're hoping that we'll stay in school long enough to be able to get our BA degree, and we're saying... They're working, they have brought different students of color out of their colleges, so out of the College of Natural Resources and these different sections of HSU and these different colleges, and put them under an ethnic program. So they're actually, every other science program at HSU is under the College of Natural Resources. That's where scientists belong. All scientists at HSU belong there, except for, Intercept, except for Native Americans. These different, Intercept, which is an Indian program, Native American program. And so, it's just, there's no reason why our program can't still be, our STEM program that, can't still be under, the College of Natural Resources. And when they put us into this different area under this giant umbrella for ethnic students, we did lose some money in that transaction. So, and they're saying that, there was no money misplaced. That's not on the books, all this stuff. Well, it's discretionary funds. So what that means is that, they give us some money, it's discretionary funds, and it's kind of spending money, and they don't, but it's something that we use. We use that to be able to go to conferences. We use that to be able to eat food. We have these community potlucks that happen once a week on Fridays, and, that helped us. That money went a long way for us, and now that money is gone, and they don't consider it real money for whatever reason. I don't understand that. They call it discretionary funds, so for whatever reason, it's supposed to not count, as a budget cut, because they use that special word, but it's still money that we use for what we want. So it is a budget cut. No matter how much they want to argue about it, we are getting about $40,000 less, to our program as a result of being moved under RIS. So she is helping, to facilitate, by being part of this program, she's helping to facilitate the termination of some of our staff members. She was actually one of the people who, signed Jacqueline's release and termination papers. So there's that. I just really think that she's not listening to what we need. you know, there's a huge cultural, a kind of like an air of like, well, we'll get people involved with their culture. And so if you know, we can help do that. You know, let us help you get involved with your culture. And it's like, hey, Rez, guess what? We know our culture. You know, we come here culturally educated. Maybe some of us don't, but you know what? You've got brothers and sisters here who can be able to help teach you about your culture. And it's not a program at HSU that's going to do it. You can give us a building. Thank you. You can give us a building and say, you know what? If you need this, develop some sort of, you know, develop your community here. You know, and that's more of what we want to see, where we don't want this weird prototype or this weird, strange, you know, just this prototype of like, look, this is how you're going to have student success. But no, actually, I think students know how we're going to have student success. And we need to help to facilitate that process instead of being left out in the dark and not being part of that. So there's a lot of challenges right now between us and administration. And we've exhausted every single avenue that we possibly could to be able to negotiate with them. We've had protests, we've had faculty support, we've had tribal support. We've asked for administration to have relationships with the tribes. Our elders have been here to speak to administration, and I'm speaking as a Western Shoshone woman, we have had our elders who we care for so much coming here to be able to, you know, talk to administration directly. At protests, at different celebrations, saying we want to form relationships with you. You know what? That's not happened. You know, so I mean, we've gone through a lot of different avenues. Even us, as sovereign nations, are having a hard time to be able to build a relationship with HSU president, which is ridiculous, by the way. Sovereign nations, we operate with the federal government. Like, that is our relationship, government to government relationship. And you've got tribes here having this, you know, relationship with the president. And it's great if tribes choose that they want to have a relationship with the president of HSU, then they can do that if they want to. And I totally support it, you know, and it's helpful. But at the same time, I'm saying that tribes are on a higher level than working at a, you know, trying to work with a university, because they are a government to government relationship, not a government to university level, you know, it's way different. You know, so you have these sovereign nations trying to reach out. The Talwa and the Yurok have both written letters of support or been outwardly supportive of the Intercept program, Jacqueline Bowman, and our cause, and with the students here on campus. And, so we've exhausted a lot of different avenues. We've gone to countless amount of university Senate meetings. We've gone to AS meetings. We've gone to, we've actually sat down and had a private conversation with the president on multiple occasions. Many students have had private conversations with the president, and we even had her here at the Intercept House, to talk about what we could do. We had a mediator there, who's a wonderful, wonderful mentor and friend of the students and people who the administration really respect. And his name is Marlon Sherman, and he was there mediating the process. And it was very apparent after our discussion with administration that they did not understand with their hearts our demands. They were not truly listening.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Sarah. She is one of the students who is taking up residency in the HSU Native Forum. This is such a complicated issue, and we'll have somebody from the administration on in a little bit. But I want to ask, in closing, what's the end game? Like, how are you guys digging in for, like, 3 months or 3 years or 3 hours? Like, how long is this going to go, do you think?
The residency?
Mm-hmm.
As long as it takes. You know, we will be here for as long as it takes. This is very well organized. We do have a lot of foresight on how we want to conduct our community here. And so, and it's in a very good and peaceful way, and with a lot of love. We've made brothers and sisters here. And so we do feel like we're prepared to be here for a long time. And we want Jacqueline Bowman to be reinstated. And we won't leave here until she is.
What was the reason for her termination?
The reason for her termination she called HSU out on their not supporting diversity students. And he wrote it down in a report, an LSAMP report. And since she did that, she was released from employment. And recently we have received a release of records we've been able to read different emails that were passed back and forth through administration, and it confirms that. Those documents confirm, those emails confirm. We're reading emails from the three women who really terminated Jacqueline, and it's very apparent, as to why.
Thank you, Sarah Caligiuri. It's KHOM Radio, back in a moment.